Morning, everyone. Today's daf and getting Zayin Hey. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonas Vichon Ishmael Libigavriel Bashmuel. We are on Ein Alam and Beis. We're about to start a story. Before we begin the story, just a quick refresher of what we discussed yesterday. The Mishnah discusses this number of scenarios of Tanaim. A get's going to be given, but only with a condition. So the first two cases of the Mishnah were basically his husband's using this opportunity to squeeze money out of his ex-wife. It's obviously not right. We're not not condoning. It's certainly an abuse of his position right now. But okay, and the we're not now's not the time to moralize. Just. It is a time to moralize. We're learning Torah, but the but the Mishnah says that it's a Tanai, it's a condition, and because the condition is set forth, so the get's not going to be a good get until the condition is met. So, for example, the Mishnah says if he says to her, I'll give you the get, but you're gonna have to give me 200 zuz. So the get is only going to be contingent on the giving of the 200 zuz. We saw yesterday machlokes between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Huda in terms of when the condition is met. Is that going to be a get at the time the condition is met, or is that going to go retroactive to the time of the nesina? So that was machlokes between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Huda. Yesterday's daf dedicated itself mostly to this machlokes between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Huda. That was one example of the Mishnah. Second example of the Mishnah is basically the same thing, but with a deadline. You got to give me the money. You got to give me the money within 30 days. And the Havamina is, I might have thought that the deadline is just to encourage her, but it's not like a drop-dead deadline. And what the Mishnah is teaching us, says the Gemara yesterday, is that it's a drop-dead deadline. And then the last thing we learned in the Mishnah is the opinion of Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Rosh Shimon Gamliel his opinion is taught to us through an incident, an episode. What was the episode? There was an incident in Sidon, in the town of Sidon, where a man says to his wife, I'm going to give you the get, but that coat, you're holding on to my coat, and I want my coat back. So the get is only, he put a contingency that the get is only going to be valid if I get back my coat. What happened? The coat was lost. So Rosh Shimon Gamliel says, no problem at all. You could pay for the value of the coat, even though he explicitly demanded that the coat was going to be the contingency for the get, but nevertheless, the loss of the coat, a money substitution would be a fair equivalency for the coat itself. Rosh Shimon Gamliel says it works. What we learned in yesterday's daf is that there's a missing part of the Mishnah, which is that not everyone agrees with Rosh Shimon Gamliel. In fact, we're going to see over the course of today's daf that the halacha doesn't follow like Rosh Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah. And that the money is not, according to the Tanakhama, the money is not going to be a fair substitute for the coat. If she has the coat and returns the coat, then the get's going to be a valid get, because that was a contingency, that was a Tanai. Otherwise, it's not going to be a get. So that is what we saw over the course of yesterday. We are Ha'ugavra. We are towards the bottom of Ein Dalamud Beis. We pick it up today with a story. Story not related to Gittin, but related to the discussion we just had. Ha'ugavra de Amar Leila Risa. So there was a man who said to the sharecropper, Kule Amar Delu Talas Dalvase Va'achle Revia. Generally speaking, when you share crops, so that means that you're going to be working the field at a percentage. Okay, you're not a hired worker. The contract is not per diem. The contract is that you're going to share the profits. You are a sharecropper. So, what is the rate of sharecropping? The answer is very simple. Whatever the deal is between the owner and the sharecropper. So here, the way this deal was negotiated is that, generally speaking, you irrigate the field three times a year, and va'achle revia. And you get to eat a quarter of the produce. Okay, so 25% sharecropper gets to take home. Meanwhile, atali arba v'achle tilsa. So the landowner says to the sharecropper, but I'll tell you what. You go ahead and you irrigate the field four times a year. So that's going to be one more time than normal. But understood, though, that's a tremendous amount of extra effort on your part. And I'll reward you. So that I'll negotiate a deal with you that instead of getting a quarter of the share, I'll give you a third of the share. Okay, so increased effort, but at the same time also increased profit sharing. So lesof asamitra. Now, what happens as follows. So the three times you irrigate the field, as was a general custom, and he put in the effort to irrigate the field three times. Now again, there was a bonus irrigation that he took upon himself to do, and assuming that he did that, so then he would get a jump up in profit, going from 25% profit sharing to 33% profit sharing. Here's what happened. As now they got to the fourth irrigation, it rained. Okay? So now he didn't need to irrigate the field a fourth time. So I'm Rav Yosef Ha Lo Dalam. So Rav Yosef says, okay, he didn't comply with his side of the deal. His side of the deal was that he was going to irrigate the field four times. He didn't do it. So therefore, he doesn't get the jump up from 25% to 33%. So Rabba Amar Halo Itzrich. So Rabba says, yeah, you know why he didn't irrigate the field? Because he didn't need to irrigate the field. So that's not his fault. He had rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him out. It was his fulfillment of the condition. And now the Gemara would like to suggest that this machlokas between Rabban and Rav Yosef is really a parallel machlokas that we just went over in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Let's consider. In our Mishnah with the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel, there was a condition. The contractual condition put into the get was, the get's only going to be valid if you give me back my coat. According to the Chachamim, it's a coat and nothing will serve as a substitute for the coat. It has to be the coat. And if she does not have the coat and she can't produce the coat, the get's not going to be a valid get. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no. If you have the coat, great. If you don't have the coat, a substitution would be fine. A monetary substitution of the coat would be fine. So you see that Rav Shimon Gamliel is open to the idea that doesn't have to be absolutely the item that is set in the condition. Anything that would be a fair substitute would be fine. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that's exactly the machlokes between Rabban and Rav Yosef. Here, one second, let me just finish it up. So here we have now a scenario in which he pledged that he would irrigate the field four times. He did irrigate the field three times. He got to the fourth time. So now he didn't do it. So according to the Chachamim, well, if he didn't do it, the demand of the condition was that he irrigate the field four times. He didn't do it four times. That's Rav Yosef. Rambam, on the other hand, says no. He only said he would irrigate the field four times if it needs to be irrigated for the field four times. But you have over here a fantastic substitution. It rained. Rain can substitute for his act of irrigation. So maybe now what the Gemara is suggesting is that the machlokus between Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel is the machlokus between Rabban and Rav Yosef.
That's an exact parallel case though. Because in the case of the code, the owner of the code would either get the money or the code, and that's what he really cares about. Whereas in this case, it's a task that the guy is supposed to do, not that the field has to be irrigated.
Okay.
Task this guy has to
do. No, in the case of the coach, he had to do something. He had to give him money. He didn't do anything.
But in other words, it was substituted. What do you mean he didn't do anything?
No. In the case of the coach, she didn't give the coach, but he had to give the money.
Okay.
Do something.
Fine.
He didn't do anything.
So the Gemara feels, okay, I hear you. The Gemara feels it's a fair parallel. So, then the Gemara says further, not only is the Gemara feels it's a fair parallel, but the Gemara says, now I'm telling you what I'm bothered by, and that is that it's a halachic inconsistency. Why? The Tizbara Vahakamal and Hilchas Kavasa de Rabba Vaha in Allah Hirshim and Gamliel. The Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem is the inconsistency. Because on this machlok between Rabba and Rav Yosef, the halacha is like Rabba regarding the sharecropper. In the case of the sharecropper, the stipulation is that he was going to irrigate the field the fourth time. It wasn't necessary. Rabba says, since it wasn't necessary, so he's fine, meaning condition is satisfied because it didn't need a fourth irrigation. It rained. So that's the halacha. The halacha goes like Rabba. So that tells you that either you irrigate or a fair substitute, which would mean rain. And you have that over here. And that's good. Meanwhile, in the case of Gittin, what's the halacha? As we're going to see momentarily, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, which means that the halacha is like the Chachamim, which means that she is going to either produce the coat or she's not going to be divorced. And there will be nothing, not even a monetary substitute, that would be a fair substitution for the coat. So, what bothers the Gemara now is that on one hand, in the case of the sharecropping, the halacha is like Rabbah, which takes on the principle of allowing substitution to satisfy a condition. And meanwhile, in our mission, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's a problem. Ela la'olam k'rabanan, Rav Yosef, Ela la'olam k'rabanan. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef k'rabanan. So the Gemara says like this. Well, what we're going to suggest now is that the two Amorim, Rabba and Rav Yosef, are going like the Chachamim. Rav Yosef is clearly going like the Chachamim, meaning that's easy. Meaning the idea that I can't substitute. I can't substitute money for a coat. I can't substitute the rain coming down for the fact that I took upon myself to irrigate the field a fourth time. Now, Rabbi will tell you as follows. I'm going to work within the sheet of the Chachamim. Now, again, we want to say this because we know the halacha is like Rabba in the case of the sharecropper, and we also know the halacha is like the Chachamim in our Mishnah. And the Gemara says like this. In the case of the Mishnah, do you know why the Chachamim said that there's nothing that's going to substitute the coat? because unfortunately the relationship has gone south, and he's going to give her a get, but he wants to, unfortunately, he wants to cause her tzar. So here, when he says coat, he's not going to accept anything as a substitute. Because it's not just that he wants the monetary equivalency of a coat. He wants the coat. Whatever the story is behind that coat, doesn't matter. That's it, and that's only it. So there, in the case of the get, I can understand the halacha is like the chachamim, that nothing will substitute the coat. Because look at the context of why he's demanding it. He's demanding it for the exchange for the get, as a condition of the get. So there, the coat and nothing else. Over here, however, what do we want? We want to make money. And everyone's on the same page. More money that the sharecropper makes than the landowner is going to make. Everyone's in it for the same goal. So over here, I took upon myself to irrigate the field 4 times. I irrigated 3 times. It rained the 4th time. We're all happy. Everyone's happy. The condition is satisfied. Even though I didn't irrigate the 4th time, but Lamaisa, it's irrigated the 4th time. Avahacha, the Gemara articulates this. Mishum harvachahu. Over here, we're all interested in making money. And if it rains a 4th time, we're all going to make money, so we're all happy. V'halo, it's tzrichin, and here it's not the rain is not necessary.
Was the coat part of the condition is in the ketubah initially? Or
No. What? No, it has nothing to do with the ketubah. It just simply has to do with that he's going to give her a get, but in exchange for the get, you're going to give me back the coat. That's all.
Not only that, but if you would irrigate the 4th time after it rained, it would damage the field.
The Gemara doesn't say that.
But it would damage the field. Too much water is just as bad as.
I understand, but the Gemara is not assuming that, though. I'm not sure why you're saying that. The Gemara is assuming that's a good thing.
It's the same way.
Another good point of interest over here in terms of Tosos, second to last Tosos on the Amud. Tosos says that when it comes to the sharecropper, the halacha is like Rabbah, which means that if it rains and the sharecropper didn't irrigate the field, even though he said he was going to, but the rain obviously is going to serve as a substitution, and basically he'll get a check. On the checklist of did you irrigate the field? Well, it rained. Okay, check. Even though the condition was set forth that he was going to irrigate the field, but rain is going to be a good substitute. Tosos says, very interesting point. Tosos says this works by sharecropping. It doesn't work by a daily worker. In other words, if you have a worker that's getting paid per day per job, so they, and he's not a sharecropper. Sharecropper is more like he's an investor, like he's a partner. But when you have somebody who's working per day, and he's getting paid schir yom. There, if he was told to do a job, he can't now figure out, well, it rained. And in other words, no. When it comes to schir yom, he's got to do what he's assigned to do, what he was contracted to do, and that's it. And you can't start, negotiating and figuring out, well, will this substitute that? All right, Tosfos says. V'yesh lamar, I'm in the second to last Tosfos on the Amud. V'yesh lamar, d'shani hasam she'enu, I started 4 lines down. D'shani hasam she'enu ala schir yom, shelo scharo balbais ela ledalos. When you have a schir yom and he was hired to irrigate the field, so then you irrigate the field. That's what you were hired to do. V'kem shelo hutzro chen eschiro. And now, I don't need the rain, so if I don't need the rain, I don't need you. You know, in this takes me back to the good old days, where, we remember when we shoveled snow? Right? You remember those good old days? Yeah. So, in other words, yeah, I understand it. The contract doesn't work this way, but, you hire somebody to, if the snow ever goes into my driveway, and, so you'll come and you'll dig me out. So there, again, yeah, I guess it's the nature of the contract, but, using the thought process of Tosos, if I don't need you, then I'm not going to pay you. I'm only going to pay you when I need you. Okay, so the avahachashu aris va'osa komalachos shibasadda, but over here he's a sharecropper. A sharecropper basically means he's on the field. He's, I use the word partner, Tosos doesn't. But in other words, he's part of the field. V'yesh lo chelik bekarka. Yeah, you know what, I take it back. Partner is fair. It's a fair way to describe it. Kamo balasadda, umiyakish esnem aladalas arba zacha bishlish sadev. Afilo asa mitra v'lo itzrich, kamo sha'arisim. Demashma danatli riva. Afilo lo yitzrich. Good. And so Tosfos says, under these circumstances, now we can have a discussion of, and not only do we have a discussion between Rabbi and Rav Yosef, can the rain coming down be a fair substitute for my requirement to irrigate? Because now I'm not just working, I'm also a profit share, I'm a partner. So Tosa says that we could draw that kind of distinction between a worker versus somebody who is more like a partner.
Isn't it
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Again, you can draw distinctions. The Gemara feels like it's a fair comparison. Okay. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah in Erechin. Okay. Just a quick preview. A couple introductory points. Generally speaking, there is no such thing as buying land in Eretz Yisrael. The Bizmana Yovel. Bizmana Yovel. So everyone's leasing. No, nobody's buying because you know if it's at the Yovel year, it's going to go back to the original owner. That's almost always true in Eretz Yisrael. It's Bizman Yovel. However, there's one notable exception, and that's Bat Erechoma. If you have a walled city, so there's a special halacha at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bahar, Bechukosai, where the Torah there describes that if it's in a walled city, so and I buy a property in a walled city and I own the property for a year, so then that property becomes mine indefinitely. So there can be a buy and a selling and a buying of property the way we would normally conduct transactions on a piece of property in Bat Erechoma. Fine. So now, let's say I go into a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, Bizmana Yovel, and I buy a piece of property, and now the year's coming to an end. Well, I'd like to own the land indefinitely. I'd like to own the property indefinitely. So you know what I'll do? I'll run and I'll hide. So that way that the original owner can't find me. Now, it's not right, especially if he wants to find me, but, you know, in other words, again, second time today, you know, we'll put the morals and the ethics aside for just a moment, and we'll discuss now the halacha. The halacha is... Well, we're going to see the halacha in just a moment. But it seems like the halacha is, as long as I duck him, as long as I can, you know, avoid him, so then, and the year comes to an end, that's it, the land belongs to me. So now, once again, the Chachmei Chazal realized this would be an issue, and a special takana was made. Let's see it together now. It's a Mishnah Erechin. So, B'Rishonah Hayunit Man Yoshdei Masar Chodesh. What would happen in the good old days, I guess they weren't so good, is that the buyer of the property would hide on the last day of the year so that the seller can't find him and buy back the property. Kideshe chaludlo, so that it becomes his indefinitely. Hitkin hila azakin, so we have a tekan of hila azakin. Shiyu cholesh es ma'osav lelishka. So here's what you, the original owner, could do. You can take the money to buy back the property and put it in escrow. Okay, the Gemara here describes it as Lishka. There was some chamber. It sounds like it's in the base of Mikdash. Whatever. You're going to put the money in escrow. Via Shover Sedelson, you're going to break the front door. I'm not quite sure, just to be honest with you, why that's a necessary part of the Takana that you have to break down the front door. I mean, it's also your door, so... So I don't know why you need to break it. But anyway, Shover Sedelis, Venichnas, and you enter into the house. Now in terms of the person now who has been displaced, right, now homeless, so he'll go to the escrow and he'll take the money back whenever he wants. The money's his. Okay, now.
Maybe
it's a kinyan chazaka, but it was your house to begin with, and you paid the money, and we know properties can be transferred with kesef. Okay, again, it's just an admission on my part, an open admission on my part. I don't know why you have to break the door, but anyway. Okay, we move along. Now, Rava says, let's observe. This is a special takana made by Hillel. So, let's think this through. In a scenario where Harizikitach Amnasha Titni Limasaim Zos. Let's go back to our Mishnah. What did we learn? So a condition was set forth in the get. I'm going to give you the get, but only if you give me 200 Zos. But Nasan Lo Midato Megreshes HaKarcho In Megreshes. Let's say when it comes time for her to give him the money, the 200 Zos, he opens up his hand and says, fine, thank you very much, I'll take it. Okay, good. Get now. The condition of the get now satisfied. But let's say for whatever reason, he doesn't want the money. For whatever reason. And she's insistent. No, here's the money. Take it. And he says, no, I don't want it. And this is now, we're going to bring us to the topic, great topic in today's daf, which is Nesina Balkarcha. What if I'm giving it to you, but you don't want to take it? Is that good or is that not good? It sounds like from the Mishnah in Erechin, the special takana that Hillel made, that it's not going to work. Meaning, what was the takana that Hillel made? He's docking you. He doesn't want the money. He wants to own the property indefinitely, and therefore you're trying to push the money forward. And so therefore, what Hillel was mistaken is that you could take the money and put in escrow, and that's acceptable. Sounds like that even if he were there, but he's refusing the money, sounds like it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, "Midi it's rechlei." Just one second. Midi it's rechlei lehillel tikkun nesina b'karcha davin nesina, because Hillel had to legislate as a special takana that a nesina b'karcha is considered nesina. Mechlal de ba'ama nesina b'karcha lohavi nesina. That means that the default setting must be that a nesina that is against the other recipient's will is not going to be considered nesina. That's what it sounds like from the takana of Hillel. To which the Gemara says, I don't know if that's the right conclusion. The Gemara says, look, what happened over there? It's not that you're trying to force him to take the money. He's not even there. Maybe if he were there, maybe the halacha would be that whether he wants the money or whether he doesn't want the money, nesina b'karcha is just simply going to, it would always work. The problem is that he's just simply not there. In order for there to be in a Sina, whether with his will or against his will, he has to be there. I can't just throw the money in the air and say, hey, wherever he is, God bless him. Let you know, the money belongs to him. That doesn't work that way. So that the takan of Hillel was specifically that the money will be transferred even though he's not physically there. That's what the takan of Hillel was. And had nothing to do with the Sina Liritsono, Natina Bar Kocha. Okay, yeah. The Ika Daimer, the Gemara says, or let's do this again, another version. Now, in the second version, we're actually going to start in the place where we ended in the first version, which is Nesina is always good because what happened over there? He wasn't there. Had he been there, and I had to give him the money, willingly or unwillingly, sounds like it would have worked. The key is to rechle lehillel tkunish lo befanav abefanav mei medata mei makarcha unesina. The only thing that Hillel needed to legislate and institute is only that the transfer of money is good, even though he's not here. That's what Hillel needed to legislate. But had he been here, the transfer would have been good, willingly or unwillingly. So Maskevlov, I'm sorry, just give me one moment. So Maskevlov, Rav Papa Vitem Rav Shimi Barash of Adilma, Afilu Befanav Nami Midato in Al Karchalom. Maybe not. Maybe if we were here, the only way the transfer of money would work is only if he's taking it willingly. Well, as far as Hillel's takana is concerned, the Hillel might it's Rechlei Takun. Hillel's takana was the reaction to what was going on. What was going on? People weren't there. That's why Hillel had to legislate for the scenario in which people weren't there. Not because the halacha is that had he been there, it would always be good. No. It may be, if he were there and he would have refused the money, maybe the money would not be transferred. And then Hillel would have to legislate for that. But Hillel was legislating for what was actually going on. People weren't there. So the Gemara has two versions, but according to either version, we don't get a clear picture from the legislation of Hillel whether Nesina Balkarcha is or is not considered a Nesina. Yeah.
But how is she going to get the get? If he's
no, he gave her the get. He gave her the get. She's holding the get, but again, the get was riding on a condition. Condition was, you got to give me 200 zuz. And then when it came time to give him the 200 zuz, he's like, you know what, I'm not taking the money. Okay.
Well, retracting
the get? No, he gave her the get.
It's too late.
But the get, he gave her the get, but with a condition. And now for whatever reasons, he's not accepting the money. Okay.
Is he mulch the money?
No, he's not mulch the money. He's just being. He's being a not nice person. Okay, and I understand. You know, you can.
But it's the condition that she gives it, not that he accepts it.
So no, the condition was is you're going to give me.
Okay, so she gave it.
Okay, but he's not. I understand. That's exactly the Gemara's discussion. This is what's called Nesina Bakarcha, meaning I'm giving it to you. You don't want to accept it. That's your problem. I'm giving it to you. So that's exactly the discussion of the Gemara. Okay, another yeah. No, what you could say very simply is that Geula is where he accepts the money. If I'm not ready to accept the money, so then that's Geula. Still, when all said and done, is a transaction. I'll give you the money in exchange for the house back.
If you don't have to accept the money, why do you have to hide? Don't hide it. Don't accept.
Okay, good. That's a good question. But meanwhile, what the Gemara's arguing is, but that's what people were doing. Hillel's response was to what people were doing.
But the Torah doesn't include people the option not to accept the money.
Yeah. Rabbi Katz is asking that, but that doesn't sound... Okay. Could be. Doesn't sound that way. Okay. Another point, another interesting point to consider, top Tosus on the Amud Mechlal. Tosus over here makes a distinction between, meaning our Gemara right now is entertaining this idea that if you don't want to accept money, you don't have to. In other words, Nesina Balkarcha is not considered Nesina. Tosus over here writes, you have to, that's not always true. Meaning, even in the Gemara's discussion, let's say, for example, you borrowed money. You go back to the lender and you say, hi, I want to pay you back. Here, take the money. And the lender doesn't want to accept the money. You're going to tell me in that case over there that you can't basically throw the money at him and say, no, I'm paying you back the loan. This is ridiculous. Of course, in other words, there, Nesina Balkarcha won't work. Toso says, in that case, of course, Nesina Balkarcha is going to work. You owe him the money. You want to be debt free. You, of course, can give him the money. And if he doesn't want to take it, You against his will, you give him the money, and you say take it. Tosa says our only discussion is where the money is in exchange for something. That's the only time we're having this discussion in Nesina Balkarcha. Let's consider what are the cases we're talking about. Number one, we're talking about two cases. Number one, the case of the Bat Erichoma, where basically the original owner is coming back and saying, "Here's the money. Now you're going to give me back my house." So now we can have a discussion in Nesina Balkarcha because I don't want your money, because if I'm going to accept your money, then I'm going to have to give you back my... right now, what is my house? So there, we can have a discussion in Sina Balkarcha. Or like the case of the get, where the woman is saying to the husband, here, take the money. Well, the husband's like, well, if I take the money, then you're going to be getting a get. So there's an exchange. So there, we'll have a discussion in Sina Balkarcha. But if it's a one-sided transaction, where I owe you money, here, take the money. There, of course, if you owe a person money and you're demanding that he take the money, you can demand that he take the money. There's no downside to taking the money. Nesina Balkarcha will work in that scenario.
It's just like, if I want to give you a gift, right. I can refuse it because you can refuse. I don't want my gift.
Right.
But in this case, the husband said to her, give me $200.
I understand.
So this way... He shouldn't be able to. Correct.
It's not.
That's a difference.
Right. In other words, in the eyes of you and I, who are currently judging him right now, he's not a nice person.
I'm saying to you, but again, he's the one who said, give me the $200.
I understood.
So he shouldn't be able to refuse it.
Okay. Understood. No. But the Gemara is assuming that he has the ability to refuse it. Okay. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Okay, Maskif L'Rav Papa. Back to the Gemara, we're on 9 Hamad Aleph. We are about 10 lines from the top of the Yaman. Maskif L'Rav Papa, V'itema Rav Shimi Bar Ashi V'dima Filo B'fanav Nami Midato in Al-Karchalo. I'm sorry. I'm a Rava Baba Chanam Rav Yochanan. Kol Makom Shashan Rashbag B'mishnah Seinu Olach K'mozo. Rav Yochanan has a rule. And Rav Yochanan's rule is, and it's interesting, he has a number of rules in terms of how to paskin the halacha from a Mishnah. So, a famous rule by Rav Yochanan, it's mentioned a bunch of times in Shas. You can see on the Gemara, you can cheat right on the sign of the Gemara, bunch of times. So, in Shas, and the Gemara over here notes that one of Rav Yochanan's rules is that the halacha goes like Reshbag in a Mishnah with three exceptions. And what are the three exceptions? Chutz me'arit sidon v'ray achrona. By the way, just it's cute. Anyway, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin in the end of the first perek, where Rav Yochanan has a rule that is that whenever you have a klal, and even when the exceptions are listed, those aren't the only exceptions. So that's a rule of Rav Yochanan, right? I'm trying to get the exact lashon of the Gemara over there. But anyway, right? Don't learn from klalos. When you have a general rule, so don't learn. Even when there says there are exceptions, that doesn't mean these are the only exceptions. That's Rav Yochanan's rule. It's just cute that right now Rav Yochanan says this. You always pass like the Rashbag and the Mishnah, except for these three. Well, If I have, if I apply the other rule of Rav Yochanan, there could be other exceptions as well. Anyway, so let me read this again. Rav Yochanan, Kamakum Shoshana Rashbag, Mishnah Sen, Al Chamoso, Chutz Mei, Arev Tziron, V'Rayachrona. Three times in Shas, where we have Rashbag in the Mishnah, the halacha doesn't go like the Rashbag. Now, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the other two right now. Arev is in the Gemara Baba Basra, V'Rayachrona is the third parak of Sanhedrin. Okay, you'll see there, and Rashi over here only really clarifies one of those two. But anyway, we're not going to go through the other cases right now. Right now, we're going to go with Sidon. We're learning Sidon, meaning we're now in the Mishnah and getting a 9 dalam and aleph. I mean, we're 9 hay. But the Mishnah, 9 dalam and aleph, that's the Mishnah of Sidon. What is the Mishnah of Sidon? Again, he's demanding a coat in order, as a condition, in order for the get to be a good get. And she says, I don't have a coat. Can I give you a monetary substitute? The Rashbag is of the opinion a monetary substitute would work. It would be an acceptable substitution. So what Rav Yochanan is telling us is the halacha is not like the Rashbag. Now we know this already because in the beginning of today's daf we already saw the Gemara tell us that the halacha does not fall like the Rashbag. But here you see it beferish in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, in the middle of Ein Hamad Aleph. Tana Rabbanan harizik edech v'anir shali, ena megareshes. I'm going to give you the get, but the paper belongs to me. Okay, and this is not going to be a good get. Why not? Rashi over here writes Vanir Shali Lo Yahiv La Velo Midi. Rashi writes it's nothing because he didn't give her anything. V'rachmana Amar V'nasim V'yada. And the Torah says there has to be an asina. A couple times in the Gemara comes to my mind that when we have the word V'nasa Nasina. So there has to be something physical, something tangible. He has to hand her something. A get is not just a concept. Of course, it is a concept, but it's not just a concept. There has to be a tangible, physical item. So you can't say, here, I'm giving you this concept. It's almost like a, you know, it's like in the cloud, right? I'm giving you this concept. It's known as a get, but the paper actually is my paper. But, you know, those words which represents ideas, that's what I'm giving to you. It's not good enough. It has to be a physical item that you're handing over to.
And the paper must be worth should be put, you know? Otherwise it's nothing.
That's a great point. It's a great point. It's a separate discussion. But as long as you brought it up, it's a separate discussion. We learned earlier that you can write again on something that's us about now.
Which is worth nothing.
Okay, so, and you're going to have to somehow make an argument that even though it's worth nothing, but it's still a physical, tangible item. Okay, the Gemara doesn't raise it. It's a great point. Let's move ahead.
The yada implies ownership. It's be her hand. That she owns.
Right, and it has to. Right, but okay, and that's what makes. Okay, but it has to be a physical item. So harezik itech v'anir sheli ena megareshes. So it's not a good gerushin. Amenas shetachzeri aliyas aniyar megareshes. I'll give you the get, but on the condition that you return it back to me. So that is going to be a good gerushin. Now, here's what the Gemara is thinking. Rashi spells out that at this point in time, we're thinking that the word amenas does not mean me'achshav. And what the Gemara is thinking right now, and we'll think this way for about the next half amud, is that the get is only going to take effect only when she returns the piece of paper. Now, if that's true, so then we should all be thoroughly confused. Because if I'm giving her the get and I'm saying, hey, the paper's mine, the words are yours. That's not good, because that's not a sfina. And then the next case in the Braisa is, I'll give you the get, and the get's going to be valid, but only when you return the paper to me.
But well, that's her while she's holding on to it for you.
Yeah, but
her status changes.
No, the get is not going to be right now. I'm just telling you. Right now, the Gemara is thinking that the validity of the get will not take place until she returns that piece of paper. Okay,
so the get is not getting effectuated until she...
Correct. Correct. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now. And if the Gemara is thinking that, which the Gemara is, Rashi tells us, and you'll see it's going to be clear from the Gemara that the Gemara is thinking that. So now, again, if in the Reisha doesn't work, in this case as well, shouldn't work. And now you understand the Gemara's next question. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. The Gemara says, I don't understand what's the difference between Reisha and Seifa. So, eventually, what the Gemara is going to happen in the Gemara is the Gemara is going to arrive at a breakthrough, which is what Ben you suggested just a moment ago, that the get was activated the moment he handed it to her, and the returning of it is what we would call matana Amanas lahachzir. Good. That's what the Gemara will realize later. But right now, the Gemara is not thinking that in that line of thinking. And right now, the Gemara is going to entertain a couple of other possibilities, more than a couple. Amrav chista hamani rashbaghi da amr titen lois da meach nami efshir de mafaisi le bedami. Here's suggestion number one of the Gemara. Well, maybe this Bryce is going like the Rashbag. What did the Rashbag say? That we can make a substitution. You know, right now he's demanding the paper back. What? How much is that paper costing? $1? $2? You know, let's say $10. Okay, $10, good. I'll give you $10. And so therefore, maybe that's the author of this brisa, and that's why the get's going to work, because she can basically pay for that piece of paper. A substitution. So maskefly abaye emor damar ashbag hechadale sabene hechadi sabene miamar. So the Gemara says, first of all, even within the opinion of the Rashbag, he wants the coat. She doesn't have the coat. All right, so let me pay you to substitute as a replacement for the coat. I'll give you a money substitution. But that's in lieu of the fact that the coat's not here. But are you going to tell me that according to the Rashbag, if the coat's here, she can still pay for it? The Gemara says that it's hard to imagine. Elam Rabbi Hamani Rabbi Meir Hidam Rabbi Inan Tanai Kafel. Okay, so suggestion number two. Suggestion number two is that maybe it's a failure of Tanai. The Tanai is not a good Tanai. We know that according to Rabbi Meir, any Tanai that's going to be a good Tanai has to be a Val Tanai. So you need a Tanai Kafel. It has to be doubled. If you do this, then this. And if you don't do this, then no. In other words, I understood. Vahacha, just 1 second. Vahacha halokafle l'tanai. So it's a failure of Tanai. And by the way, and this is important, and once you understand this point, you're really going to make a breakthrough in terms of understanding so much of these conditional cases. If it's a failure of Tanai, that does not mean that there was a failure of exchange. A failure of Tanai just simply means the condition falls away, but the exchange is valid. Meaning over here he gave her a get with a condition. If there was a failure in condition, the get's still a valid get. It just simply means there's no longer a condition attached. So over here the Gemara is suggesting it's a failure in condition, because he didn't say both the positive and the negative. So the Gemara says, really, that's the difference. The difference is it wasn't a kefal. Gemara says, look, you know where Tanai Kafel comes from? It comes from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven going into Eretz Yisrael. The Shvatim of Gad and Reuven are looking at Aver HaYarden. They didn't cross the Jordan. And they're looking around there saying, hey, this is nice. We like it. We like to stay here. You know what? Moshe, let's stay here. I mean, our two Shvatim. You go ahead. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you conquer, you fight war, but we'll stay here. So Moshe says, I'll tell you what, let's strike a very simple deal. You're going to go in with us to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to fight the war. And if you do so, you're going to get Aver HaYarden. And if you don't do so, then you're not going to get Aver HaYarden. And from here becomes the model of the halachas of Tanai. And that's Tanai Kafel. Now over there, the Tanai Kodom L'maisa, if you go in and you do battle together with us, then you get the land. The condition has to come before the Maisa, before the action. So over here, the condition has to come before the Maisa. Here, he gave the get, and then he threw in a condition afterwards. So over here, if you're following the prototype of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven as the model, even if it's Tanai Kafel, there's still failure in Tanai, because the condition was not preceding the action. Ela Amarava Mishum Demaisa Konel Tanai. So Rava says, okay, so I'll tell you what. Failure over here was that the action was before the Tanai. But in other words, if that was reversed, then it'd be fine. So Maskevla Revada Brava time of the Maisa Kodem LaTanai. Tanai Kodem LaMaisa Lo Havigita Michti Kol Tanai Meicha Gamin Lehu Mitanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven Mahasam Tanai Bedaver Echad Umaisa Bedaver Acher Avkol Lafuke Hacha De Tanai Umaisa Bedaver Echad. The Gemara says, I'll tell you another basic halacha as it relates to Tanayim. And that is the condition and the action, or the condition and not the action, but the condition and the, right, and the status have to be on two separate issues. Meaning, in Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, what happened? They wanted Aver HaYarden. What was the condition? You're going to go across the Jordan together with us and you're going to fight. And if you do that, so then you get the property. The condition was on going to battle with us, and the result is you're going to get property over here. Condition and the result have to be on two separate items. It cannot be on the same item. Over here, what's the condition? You're going to return the get to me. What's the result? Well, the get's going to be yours. In other words, it's the same thing. The condition and the result are both going on the get. Gemara says that's a failure in Tanai. So El Amar V'Achabar Ava Mishum De Tanai Ma'isa B'Davar Echad. So the Gemara says, okay, that's exactly the issue. Meaning over here, that's what's wrong. Rav Ashi Amar. So fine. So the Gemara is offering so many different explanations in terms of the second case of the Braisa. I'll give you the get, and you know when the get's going to be chal when you give it back to me. So the Braisa says that's no good. Why is that no good? So what the Gemara is now suggesting? Sorry. No, it is good. Sorry. The Braisa says it is good. So what we're trying to understand is why it should be good. Meaning, when the get takes effect, she's not holding a piece of paper in her hand. Why should it be good? So basically, Gemara goes through numerous permutations of this point. But basically, the Gemara lands on the point of, well, the condition wasn't properly made. Okay. And therefore, the condition falls away. And that's why the get's going to be a good get. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Hamani Rebbe Hi Damar Rav Huna Amar Rav Kol HaOmer HaMenas Kol HaOmer Me'achshav Dame. The Gemara says, but let's say it simply, and really, and this is what you were thinking originally. The issue is very simple. He says, I'm going to give you a get, Amenas, that you give it back to me. We learned in yesterday's daf, we're saying it now again today's daf. What does the word Amenas mean? It means it's effective immediately. It just now is, the condition is, you're going to give it back to me. This is what we call throughout Shas, Matana Amenas Lahachzer. And what do we know? It works. I'm going to give you something, and then the condition is you're going to give it back to me. And when you give it back to me, so at least it was during the duration it was yours. Right? The classic example is on Sukkos, Lulav and Esrog. We have a halach of lachem, you have to own it on the first day. If you don't own it on the first day, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Let's say for whatever reason you don't have a Lulav and Esrog on the first day. So what do? You go to a friend and you say, do me a favor, Matana Manasa Achzer. Give it to me on the condition I give it back to you while he has it, as long as he fulfills the condition, which is that he gives it back. So for that period of time, it belongs to him. Same thing over here. So the Gemara says that's why in the second case it works.
Can you say that as soon as the get touches the woman's hand, her status has changed? She's gotten divorced.
Right.
So there's only one condition left for her to stay, but she doesn't need to hold on to the get for her status to stay divorced.
She has to have it. There has to be a...
Just to show anybody that she's a divorced woman. She's divorced.
Right, correct. But when it's given to her, it's got to be hers. I mean, in the eighth paragraph, we're going to be hammering this point time and again. That has to be hers. So hers means that. Okay, fine. Good. Okay. No. Correct. So the Gemara says, "Sorry, what happened? Lost the spot." Okay. Amenas kamer me'achshav dami. Itkin Shmuel begita deshchimira. Okay. Now, Shmuel made the following takana. You have a shchimira. So unfortunately, he's dying and he wants to give a get to his wife. Im lo masi lo yeget v'imasi yeh get. Okay, so what he should say is that if I don't die, the get will be the get will not be valid. And if I do die, the get will be valid. So So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We just learned that you first have to say the hain and then you have to say the lav. So lo maktish in purusal nafshe. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? You know what? The first statement is going to be, if I die. In other words, that shouldn't be his first statement. The first statement should be if I don't die. So the Gemara says, "Valeim lo yeget im lo masi beinan tanai kodal ma'isa." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but you can't first say get and then death because we know we just learned together. In order for the condition to be a valid condition, it has to be tanai kodal ma'isa." Maskal v'rava mechti kol tanai meich gamrinim tanai benegad bnei ruvin ma'hasam hein kodal lav af kol lav fukehacha de lav kodal lahein. So the Gemara says the positive has to be for the negative. Again, in the prototype example of benegad bnei ruvin. If you go in and you fight, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. That's the positive. And if you don't go in, then you're not going to get. So it has to be positive followed by negative. So really what he should be saying is, if I die, the get belongs to you. Again, that's not a positive statement, but that's a positive result. And then if I don't die, the get is not going to be yours. That's the negative result. So the Gemara says that should be the proper order. El Amarav, Im Lo Masi Lo Yeh Get, Im Masi Yeh Get, Im Lo Masi Lo Yeh Get. So lo yeget. So here's the way we're going to do it. You start off by saying, if I don't die, the get's not yours. Then you say, if I die, the get's going to be yours. And then you follow up by saying, and if I don't die, the get's not going to be yours. And the Gemara now goes on to explain. You don't want to start off with the sentence with, if I die, because again, you know, al tiftach pela satan. You don't want to start that way. So imas yehaged im lo masi lo yehaged bin and hein kodol lav. But then you're going to have to go ABA. In other words, you don't want to start off by saying if I die. So fine. So you start off with if I don't die. So then the get's not effective. But again, now you have to go to B. And if I die, the get is going to be effective. That's the positive. But then the rule of Tanaim are going to force you to go back and repeat the second. Your first statement was, which is, and if I don't die, the get's not going to be yours. Okay.
Why wasn't that question asked of all the other Tanaim that they made all?
There is a larger discussion. Again, it's not on the daf itself. There's a larger discussion. Sometimes I need Tanai Kafel, sometimes I don't need Tanai Kafel. You know, the Rishonim already, you know, basically
I understand.
They try to iron out. You know, there are times when I need to have a couple of times that I don't. Mishnah. How is the gitech amnashe tishamshi es aba amnashe tenikias bini? Okay, so once again, more Mishnayos, more conditions. I'll give you the get, but on the condition that you serve my father, or on the condition that you nurse a newborn son. Right, a terrible tragedy, obviously. The getting a divorce immediately after the birth. But again, we're right now focusing very clinically on the condition. So kamahu minikaso. So now, simple question. Well, how long do you have to nurse? Meaning, if there's a condition, the condition has to be satisfied, and there's an important detail left out, which is duration. How long are we talking about? So, machlokas tanaim, what is considered the default time of nursing? 2 years, year and a half. Mesa ben, osha mesa av, harizeh get. Now, what if the son dies? What if the father dies? Meaning that you're prepared to fulfill the condition. The problem, of course, is that the condition was to serve the ex-husband's father. He's just no longer alive. Or what if the condition was to nurse a child and Rachman al-Son, the child died? So is that a de facto fulfillment of the condition? So the Mishnah says, yes, it is. Harez again. What if the condition had the duration built into the condition? The get will be good, but only if you nurse the child for 2 years. Only if you serve my father for a duration of 2 years. So, and let's say it's just not needed, but the condition was actually for a certain duration of time. So according to the Tanakama, you didn't fulfill the condition, even though it's not needed, but you didn't fulfill it. Rishim Gamliel Omer Kazeh Get. Rishim Gamliel says nope, that's a get. Klam Rishim Gamliel Kol Akava She'eno Heimena. As long as she's not holding back the condition, she's in a position where she's prepared to fulfill the condition. It's just other circumstances which are preventing her from fulfilling it. The condition is in fact met. Umi be'inan kulei hai v'rimin of the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. Shimshata yom echad and nikisa yom echad harizeget. In the Tosefta, what is the duration if it's not articulated? A single day. Clearly going against our Mishnah. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe to understand that, you just simply say, it's a machlokas between the Rishim and Gamliel and the Chacham. And what do we learn from Rishim and Gamliel? That is substitution. Right? If it's the coat, fine. If you don't have the coat, a substitution. But according to the Chachamim, a day is all you need. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. How am I to say for Rishim and Gamliel? So have a mechlal de reisha lav Rishim and Gamliel. Ela b'raisa Rishim and Gamliel he, de mekel b'tanai. Masnisan Rabbanan. So the Gemara suggests that, well, maybe we can make the following distinction. The Brice is going like Rosh Hashim and Gamaliel. Why? Because we find that he tends to be more lenient when it comes to conditions. And that's why a single day is considered like a validation of the condition. Masha Enkin, our Mishnah that says that she has to nurse the child for 2 years, so it could be that that's holding like the Chachamim, who tend to be more machmir in terms of what is considered a satisfaction of a condition. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Rava.